Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 569. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I am Jeff Gamet, and this is our show about whatever strikes our fancy as we record this. We're still setting up our new home for the Context Machine, but that will eventually live at contextmachine.io, and you'll be able to reach out to us there.
Indeed, you will. And today, Jeff, I think we're going to be talking about cord cutting. Is that right?
I believe you are correct.
And we also, as a sponsor, have a different kind of cord cutting. See what I did there?
I see what you did there, but I'm not laughing because I don't want to encourage you.
I've been waiting to say that for like 45 minutes. Yeah. Anyway, Hunter Douglas. Hunter Douglas is sponsoring this particular episode of The Context Machine. We appreciate that. We're going to tell you about them later. Right?
Awesome. Yes. Of course, we're going to tell people about them later. I mean, we just did the setup.
We did just do the setup. And I don't want to jinx anything too badly, but I'm going to risk it anyway. There's a really good chance that you, dear listener, had the opportunity, whether or not you followed up on it, to actually listen to this episode the day it was recorded, which was on time.
I'm laughing because it's just, I know us, and but yeah, people may actually hear this episode on the day it's recorded.
Yeah, they have the opportunity.
That'd be exciting.
They should at least have the opportunity.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait to see how that plays out.
All fair. All right. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about cord cutting. Now, you pitched this topic just yesterday to me, yesterday as we're recording, but I don't actually know what you want to talk about.
Perfect. So we're as prepared as we have always been.
Well, Top men.
So, Brian, are you a cord cutter?
I am a cord cutter.
And I'm trying to remember if I actually knew that. I am a cord cutter as well.
Okay. And cord cutting in this context means?
This means that we have cut our reliance on traditional television delivery services.
I don't like the word reliance there. Like we're not, because cutting our reliance makes it sound like we still have them. Those traditional media delivery systems.
All right. Well, let's talk through this. Let's figure out what we will agree is a good definition.
Okay.
Like we could have done before the show.
I mean, so traditional. Yeah, we could have. Let's be honest. Traditional media delivery services such as cable in particular. Technically, it could actually be over the air stuff too, even though that is cordless.
Yeah, I'm inclined to allow for cordless, regular over the air, to be included in a cord cutter's arsenal.
Okay. Fair. Fair.
Yeah. But using, say, cable television services, I'll even include satellite television services.
Yeah. Even though those are, well, there's usually a cord to your, from the wall to your device, but the whole point basically, a cord cutter is someone who is essentially getting their media from the internet. However they get their internet, there may still be a cord involved there, but in some way, right, either be it an app or a website, they're getting their media delivered over the internet as opposed to through a quote-unquote cable TV service.
Okay, great.
All right, now that we have,
I totally agree with that.
Now that we have thoroughly rehashed 2009.
Now, well, to be fair, you know, mostly pedantic.
Mostly. But yeah, I am a cord cutter, and I have been because there's a difference between using apps to augment your traditional TV services and being, mm-hmm. and being a cord cutter. Cord cutter basically doesn't have that subscription to satellite TV or cable TV. And right. Is getting everything, like I said, through an app or website. I have been an official cord cutter as opposed to a cord augmenter for the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so I have been a cord cutter a lot longer than you.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think when I would have officially, when I can say I was really officially a cord cutter. It's probably been about 8 years.
Wow. Yeah. You were way out in front.
I was a vanguard.
Yeah.
Rushing in where angels fear to tread. I'm not surprised that Ichabod responded like that, because 8 years ago, being a cord cutter was a lot different than it is now. So why did you decide to be a cord cutter?
I decided to be a cord cutter after. So I was a DirecTV fan. And then for several years, I did not use DirecTV for a variety of reasons, and then went back to DirecTV when I moved here in Silicon Valley about 4 years ago. Not quite 4 years ago, because I was able to use DirecTV Now at that time. And that was okay. Getting DirecTV's essentially cable competitor, but through an app on my Apple TV. But mm-hmm. I don't think that qualifies as being a cord cutter, because I was still subscribing to basically a cable-like package. It just happened to be delivered through the interwebs. AT&T bought DirecTV several years ago and has largely just wrecked it since, which is really, really cool. And
No doubt.
Including for me, I had some kind of issue. I had some kind of payment issue that was not me not paying the bill. There was something that they changed on their side. And I didn't realize that my bill was not automatically paying. And then all of a sudden I found myself cut off because I wasn't paying enough attention to either the mails or emails that I was getting, that which is on me. But when mm-hmm. I called them, they would not reactivate the package I had, and I could not get the channels that I wanted. I just couldn't get the channels. It was ridiculous. So I canceled. I said, okay, fine. Turn me off. And I basically at that point investigated several cable, like, you know, there's Hulu TV or whatever, Hulu Now, Hulu Plus, I don't know, I forget what they call it. There's YouTube TV Plus, again, I don't know what it's called. And then I didn't, none of those really had the channels that I like to have on in the background when I'm working. The Science Channel, the Discovery Channel, we've talked about that before, the History Channel. Shows like that I love to have on where I'm not really watching, but I'm kind of watching. And
then so everyone, what Brian's saying is that when he would be busy writing or working on other things, he had to have Ancient Aliens playing in the background.
Isn't it possible?
I'm not saying it's aliens.
It's aliens. And as a reminder, I've got this thing where if I'm writing fiction, I can't have a TV on and I listen to music. But if I'm writing nonfiction, i.e., stuff that I used to do at the Mac Observer or, you know, any kind of article, I couldn't have music on but could have a TV on. So, you know, whatever. Right brain, left brain thing, I think. Found Philo. Do you know Philo?
I do know Philo.
Do you have Philo?
Nope.
It is, it's like $20 a month when I signed up for it. I have a feeling it's more now. I haven't been paying close enough attention, but it is multiple cable networks, multiple studios and cable networks, but delivered through an app, doesn't have local stations and doesn't have any of the news stations, but it has History, Discovery, Science channels, things like that, that I like to have on all the time. And a few other things too. Started watching Perry Mason reruns through Philo.
Oh, fun.
It's a fascinating look into the past. So yeah, that is my path to being a cord cutter. It was AT&T's, in my opinion, mismanagement of DirecTV, and then whatever weird thing I had going on with not being able to get the channels that I wanted anymore. And that turned me to be a cord cutter. How about you?
Okay.
That was a very long story.
Yes, but I was riveted all the way through.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
Yeah. Okay. So you're done talking now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So to answer your question, for me, it was the growing frustration with having to buy bigger and bigger packages just to get like the three or five channels that I wanted, mm-hmm. because they're split across the packages, mm-hmm. which I'm sure is very intentional. And I'm not saying that in like those jerks are trying to screw me kind of way. I actually did the fist waggling while I said that.
That's good.
But more from the data perspective, where they can look at what channels people watch the most. And then if you split those up across multiple packages, then you have a higher likelihood of selling bigger packages.
Yeah, they're trying to screw you. Get
all the channels they want.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they're trying to screw you.
So can I immediately derail you?
Sure.
I'm along for the ride. This is why Apple had such a hard time negotiating any kind of a la carte service with the studios and networks. They do just fine with the current pay. You know, you have to get all of the channels to get any of the channel system that dominates the cable industry. They were doing just fine with that, and they had zero interest in Apple fixing it.
I can appreciate that. I mean, from a business standpoint, I don't like it, but I can appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was getting very frustrated with that, and the rates continued to go up, and I felt like I was getting less for more money, and I realized that what I really wanted to watch was a very small subset of content that was available, and it was actually cheaper for me at the time to buy a season of a series through Apple Music. Yeah,
I remember having that discussion.
Yeah, and then just not having a cable television subscription.
It was through iTunes at the time.
Yeah, it was through iTunes at the time. Yeah. Yep. Which is why I have a lot of seasons of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Available to me because it was cheaper.
How many seasons of Buffy did you buy that you stopped watching?
I didn't buy any seasons because at the time they were available for streaming through Netflix.
Ah, right. Yeah.
And yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm still chapped about same. You not watching Buffy.
Yeah, I am too. And maybe someday I'll get over it, but probably not. So yeah, for me, the thing was I was already subscribing to Netflix because I had been subscribing ever since they mailed you a DVD. Mm-hmm. And then I could just buy content from, at the time, the iTunes store. Mm-hmm. And I was saving money. So that was it. I was out. And I didn't care about the things I was giving up, like local channels, because that content I could still just get online through their websites. And then sports. Since sure. I'm not a spectator sports fan,
sure,
I wasn't missing out by giving up a cable subscription. Of course, that's been addressed in recent years, but for me, it was never a deal.
You gave up something else though, whether or not you realized it, and that was new show discovery. Right? Because you weren't even yes. getting commercials for new shows, which every network, every cable network, every broadcast network puts commercials for its other programming along with the paid commercials that it runs.
Well, Netflix was giving me that.
But
get what you're saying. Okay. So I wasn't getting as large a pool of potentially discoverable content.
Yeah.
When I gave up my cable subscription.
I've never heard anyone mention that. I mean, you know, cause we have social media where depending on how active you are or how active a consumer you are, you probably follow someone that's going to mention a new show that they like.
Right. Yes.
So, I guess,
better for discovery for me than anything any network has ever done.
Okay. Fair enough.
And, you know, part of that is because, let's use Netflix as an example.
Okay.
You go to the Netflix, main page. Uh-huh. And there, at the top, there's always some new show some show they're promoting. And I'll be seeing that, but a lot of the time, I'm not actually paying attention to it. Because what I want to do is hop down to whatever the currently watching or last watched section is, so I can pick up wherever I left off. But then later on, someone will say, hey, have you started watching whatever this series is? Then I come back with no, but I remember seeing the thing on Netflix sure. about it, and they say, oh, you need to check it out. And then I go do.
That's all fair. By the way, are you an Apple TV Plus subscriber?
I am.
Same. Have you watched Ben Stiller's show Severance? It's a drama. It's not a comedy, by the way.
I have not, but it's on my list. And the reason it's on my list is not because when I'm watching other content on Apple TV Plus that I see the ads for it, it's because other people have said, hey, you need to watch it.
Yeah, fair enough.
So
you're going to love it when everybody gets slimed. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a spoiler?
Well, I'm out of that show.
By the way, no, that's not actually a spoiler. I watched the first episode last night, was riveted, for what it's worth.
Yeah, the reason I haven't started watching yet is because I'm trying to get better at actually finishing a series before jumping into the next one.
Interesting thing that you're doing.
And I just finished Peacemaker, which is on HBO Max.
I haven't watched that.
Which you need to watch it.
Okay.
It was surprisingly good. Like, I was expecting a stupid show that I might get through an episode or two and then walk away from it. And I watched the first episode, and you know, they have the show teaser, and then they do the opening credits, and then the rest of the show. By the time they had finished the opening credits, I was committed for the season. That fast.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And the writing is really good. The characters I found to be interesting. And the character that I expected to be the cardboard piece mm-hmm. in the series, which mm-hmm. is Peacemaker, played by John Cena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
I think he actually does really well.
I think he's a fine actor.
Yeah. And he took this character that easily could have been cardboard, even with good writing, it still could have been just this very two-dimensional character. And he owned it and he made it work. And yeah. So anyhow, now I can start Severance because I finished Peacemaker.
Can I tell you about another show?
And see, yes, but before you do, I just want to say this totally drives home to me why the discovery process that I lost with giving up regular cable television is fine, because I get much better endorsements for shows from friends that have watched something and said, put this on your list.
Fair. All right. Fair enough. That is fair. And it is, I think what I said was you lost a form of discovery, but if I didn't, that's what I should have said.
I mean, thank goodness there's no way for us
to actually check that.
Right. It is lost in the ether forever.
No one will ever actually know what it is that I said. This other show that I've been enjoying for completely different reasons is called 1883. Have you seen or heard anything about that?
1883. No.
It is okay. It is a Yellowstone original story. So there's a series called Yellowstone that I have not watched even a single episode of.
I have not watched it either, but I've heard the name of the show. So I'm up to speed with you.
Okay. But so for whatever reason, I decided to watch, this origin story for the show that I haven't watched. And it stars Sam Elliott and Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. And it really stars a young woman named, let me find her name, Isabel May, who looks exactly like Jennifer Lawrence. Like, I totally thought it was like, what, is that Jennifer? Is that what? Did, what? How is that? But it's not. And she's a fine actress. Sam Elliott is a god. And Faith Hill and Tim McGraw are freaking awesome. Really kind of, I'm not a big country fan, but they are fantastic in the show. And it is Sam Elliott leading a wagon train to Oregon in 1883.
Okay.
And it is dark. This is not Wagon Train, the 50s TV or 60s TV show.
So this is Oregon Trail, and you will die of dysentery on the way kind of thing.
Yeah. Or, you know. Yeah, you will encounter many things along the way, and I'm enjoying the heck out of it. The wagon train, by the way, is mostly Dutch immigrants.
Okay,
and many of whom don't speak English, and they have no idea what they're doing, and drama ensues. Anyway, I've really enjoyed it. It is dark. It is violent. It is bleak. I think bleak is maybe even a better word than dark. I've really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. It's on my list now.
And it streams on Paramount Plus.
Okay.
I think it may even be a Paramount Plus exclusive. So you can't get it unless you do have Paramount Plus. Anyway, great show. Peacemaker. I will check that one out on HBO Max.
It is not a superhero show for kids at all.
Good to know.
I mean, it is very, very adult. But you're old enough to watch it now.
You were a fan of Battlestar Galactica, the remake.
I was. I really enjoyed it.
And Katie Sackhoff, who was just amazing as Starbuck.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, well, slipped there. She has a show on Netflix that I unfortunately do not recommend.
I'll do the setup. Oh, really, Brian? Tell me about this show that I shouldn't watch.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually kind of watching it, so I don't know if you shouldn't watch it. It's just it's not great. It's called Another Life. Sci-fi.
Yeah, I watched the first episode and was done.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not.
So tell me about the show that didn't get renewed for season 3.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
New news.
Katie is fantastic in it. My real problem with it is all the Gen Z. It feels like a show empowering Gen Z to like be slackers in space, and we get a lot of Gen Z drama and faux drama and anyway, Katie is fantastic.
It felt very contrived to me.
It is contrived, and it is also in many ways very unrealistic. For instance, it's not a military operation that is the like the fastest, the first faster than light ship, and it's somehow not. I mean, like, come on, that ain't happening. Military is not going to give that up.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, but Katie is terrific. The guy that plays her husband is terrific. I like both of those characters. It's Katie's crew on the what do they call that ship? Anyway, whatever ship is, it's the crew that just drives me nuts.
The SS Minnow,
something like that.
I have no idea.
Anyway, yeah. So not a great show. Unfortunately, it's too bad. Katie is really good on it. So tell me what all you're currently subscribing to. Like, because what does it even mean to be a cord cutter today? Because it means something different than when you first started doing it 8 years ago. And it means something different from when I first started doing it even 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Okay, so I already had my Netflix subscription. Wait,
hold on. I lied to you. We really need to talk about Hunter Douglas.
Oh, how funny. You read my mind. Yeah. We really do need to talk about Hunter Douglas. Yeah. Yeah. And actually today for me is a really good day to talk about Hunter Douglas because I've got this problem, Brian. And mm-hmm. And believe it or not, this is not contrived. It has been so cold in Boulder the past couple days that when we hit 9 degrees Fahrenheit today, which beat the high that we had the day before, wow. I was actually excited. And so the problem that goes along with that, when you live in a place that like mine that was built in 1903, is that you have windows that just don't insulate. So what I need are really good blinds that that will give me that insulation that I need. And it would be really nice if those blinds could be controlled with the technology that I already have, because yes, please. And so that's what Hunter Douglas is doing.
You mean without a cord?
Without a cord.
Right.
That's right.
Oh, now I see where I was. It all comes back. Yeah.
Yeah. We are so clever like that. Yeah. So, yeah, Hunter Douglas, they have like these really high quality blinds that you can get that take advantage of their PowerView technology. So you can automate when they open and close. Like if you want to have the blinds open in the morning, when the sun's coming in through those windows, just have it happen automatically. And it works with the smart home platforms that you're already using. So like for us, that would be HomeKit, but it also works with Google Home and with Alexa. So you can just hook it up and use it with whatever system you prefer. And for me, that sounds really cool, because what I would like to do is get these blinds and with HomeKit, have it talk to my thermostat, because I have a smart thermostat. And then when the thermostat hits a specific temperature, it automatically closes the blinds because it's getting cool enough inside that I want to take advantage of the insulating value in those blinds.
That all so, sounds fantastic.
It does. So I want this, and I'm guessing that our listeners might be interested too. So here's the deal. Visit hunterdouglas.com/ACM today for your free style Gets Smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing your windows. That's hunterdouglas.com/ACM for your free design guide. And hey, thank you, Hunter Douglas, for sponsoring us and giving me hope that I can keep my place warm in the winter.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. We do appreciate that. Okay, so let's jump back into where we last left our band of brave adventurers, which was what are you subscribing to today, and what does it actually mean to be a cord cutter today?
Okay. And before we wrap up, I want to know what equipment we're using.
Okay.
As well, because okay. I'm curious what you have. Okay. So for me, I already had Netflix and that just continued on, and Amazon Prime because I already had Amazon Prime because I have to buy enough stuff through them. Mm-hmm. And then because I am an AT&T customer for my iPhone, I get HBO Max as part of that package. Mm-hmm. So then the other packages that I'm now paying for on top of all of that, I have Apple TV Plus, mm-hmm. And that just comes as part of the, I just forgot the name of the overall subscription where I have my Apple TV Plus and Apple Music and iCloud. Is it iCloud Plus?
Apple One.
Apple One. Thank you. So I have an Apple One subscription. So all that's bundled together. And then I'm also paying for Paramount Plus and Star Trek, right? Disney. Because Star Trek, and they are so smart with the way they're doing this. They have all these different Star Trek series, but they only show one at a time. So they've worked around the thing where people sign up for a service when the show they want to watch is on, and when the new episodes are done, they cancel again.
Yeah.
They wrap up one season for one Star Trek property, mm-hmm. and then the next week, on the same night, at the same time, the next show starts its new season, and when that wraps up, then it moves on to the next one. So that they were really clever, really smart from a business standpoint doing that. And then Disney, because I'm into the Star Trek Star Wars shows. Ooh, that they have going
fight
on
words with some people.
I know, but you know what, I like both and I'm okay with that.
No, it's the mixing and, it up. It's the mixing it up that are fighting words for some folks.
Oh yeah, well, you know, they can try and fight, but I'll just have my Dalek step up in the way and take care of it for me.
Yeah, fair enough. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that accounts for all the services that I have.
So you're not doing Hulu.
No, I'm not doing Hulu, which is a problem for me because I really like the Orville and the new season, which comes out sometime this year, is going to be a Hulu exclusive.
Right.
So, I'll end up having to sign up for Hulu. And I need to watch Handmaid's Tale, and that's on Hulu also,
right? That's on Hulu also. And then there was Future Man. Did you end up watching that yet?
Still on Hulu, so nope.
Yeah, I didn't know if you ever had Hulu at some point.
No.
I loved Future. Oh, season 3 Future Man was a little bit wacky, but just a brilliant, brilliant show. Absolutely brilliant. So they've got Paramount Plus. You got, I don't even know what all I have anymore. How about Discovery Plus?
Nope.
I started doing Discovery Plus because I wanted to get the gold mining shows that were premiering there, but then they eventually actually came to Discovery. So I do like my gold mining shows.
Yeah. I thought of another that I have that a lot of people don't think of as a cord cutter service. Uh-huh. I have Plex and I set up my own Plex server using a Raspberry Pi because how cool is that? And then all of this content that I already had on DVD, I just ripped with Handbrake and put it on that. So I can just watch whenever I want. But Plex also does have other streaming content.
Okay.
So need to include that in my cord cutter arsenal.
I also have the CW because I was watching Stargirl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then
I heard that was really good.
It's good. I don't know if it's really good. I do enjoy it for sure. Then there's Showtime. Are you doing Showtime?
Oh, yes, I am, because I got that package where it was Paramount Plus and Showtime for the same price.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I forgot that I have Showtime. Yeah.
All right. Well, I have all those, including Hulu and Discovery Plus, which you don't. And yeah, so I'm subscribing to it. One of the things that made me want to cord cut was Comcast in particular, essentially raising rates by a dollar or so every month. Right. You sign up for something and then just mysteriously your just bill keeps ever escalating because reasons. And what it's one of the things I've enjoyed about Philo is I think there was a rate increase a year or so ago, but it was like, hey, we're going to raise your rates once. Mm-hmm. So and it's still so much cheaper compared to anything I've ever paid for with a cable. The Philo app, by the way, is not perfect, but it's good enough for what that's worth.
Okay.
For what that's worth. And anyway, so I've got all the ones you've got plus the CW. I don't know if that's paid. I don't think I'm paying for the CW. And I'm using Philo for my cable networks. I've got Discovery Plus for catching shows that I might miss. And there you go.
Okay. And for me, when I look at how much I'm paying for the a la carte networks that I'm getting now versus what I was paying for a cable subscription just to get the channels that I wanted, I'm still doing good. I'm still doing well.
I'm probably close to what I was paying for in cable. But
it's okay.
And it's disjointed despite Apple's promise of giving us one interface for all things, LOL. It's still disjointed compared to like a cable box and a DVR.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, I am more pleased.
I'm with you. I'm more pleased. I was really hoping that Apple's TV app interface would be more widely adopted. But you know, once that happens, then you have the other content providers either sharing information with Apple that they don't want to,
or giving up some of the
control.
They don't want Apple fixing this.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things that really annoyed me with Netflix.
Yeah.
And Apple, because Netflix does not want to give up any of that control.
No, it is deeply frustrating. Don't get me wrong. I can only imagine how difficult Apple can be to work with as anyone, you know, be it a vendor or a partner or, you know, things like what we're talking about right now. But Netflix not cooperating is annoying as heck. I do use the Apple TV interface to track several shows that I watch across several different platforms. But the fact that it if anything, it keeps me from watching Netflix as much as I would. If Netflix would bloody well work with Apple on providing this data to the TV app so that when when the next episode of a show that I'm watching is in my list, I'd be watching more Netflix.
Yep. I totally get it. Yep. Super annoying. It's really frustrating.
It is. So you also wanted to know what kind of hardware I'm using. Why don't you go first?
All right. So my primary device for all of my streaming content is my Apple TV. And that's because every service that I'm using either feeds directly through the TV app or has its own app for Apple TV. And so I can have essentially a one-stop shop for all of my content. Mm-hmm. And my television is, no kidding, a 15-year-old Sony Bravia. And that thing is still going strong.
That's black and white?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to put coal in the side to watch shows.
Okay, and then what are you doing for sound system?
For sound system, I have a Polk soundbar mm-hmm. With a subwoofer, and it actually has the A-Lady built in to it as well. So my soundbar is a smart speaker as well.
Got it.
And I have no interest in a smart television ever.
Smart speaker for like, which services?
A-Lady.
A-Lady, okay. I am waiting for, do you remember Apple announced that third-party speakers would be able to incorporate the S-Lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that to happen for TV stuff.
So like that would be really cool.
Yeah. I'm using the Apple, the HomePod. I'm two home, a stereo HomePod for my living room TV, and I'm in my office, just a single HomePod. And I would love to replace the living room system with a proper soundbar plus subwoofer plus maybe even satellites, but not until I can get full S-Lady integration.
Yep, I totally get it. And I would love to have S-Lady integration on my soundbar. But it's, you know, it's interesting because for music, I already have really great integration through my Echo devices because you can link up your Apple Music account, which turns out is much more reliable for playing music. Streaming music than my HomePods. My HomePod spends so much time telling me that I need to wait, hold on, something's going wrong, this is taking too long, there's a problem with Apple Music, or consistently plays the first 3 seconds of the first song in whatever the playlist is. And then there's this very pregnant pause, and then the next song starts. But I can tell the A-Lady to play content from Apple Music flawless every single time.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah.
Very frustrating.
I'm not experiencing those issues on my HomePods.
I am glad. I know I'm not alone in the problems that I'm experiencing because anecdotally, like when I complain on Twitter or Facebook about issues like this, I will get replies from people saying, yes, I have the same problems.
Right. Makes sense.
So I'm glad you're not, because it's very frustrating when those problems pop up.
On my, you ready for my hardware? Because we're running.
I am.
I'm Apple TV. So I've got an Apple TV set-top box on both of my TVs. I have the unified interface on both of them. So, you know, which is terrific. And if essentially I'm at the point where if I cannot get a service on an app on my Apple TV, I am not going to bother with that service.
Same.
And one of the things is like, I don't want my TV tracking me.
Yeah. That's one of the things that has me not wanting a smart TV.
Yeah.
Also, less frequent updates for apps.
Yeah.
Inferior apps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not want to use, I've got a, you know, really nice LG OLED TV, you know, that's only a few, the model is, I think, I don't know, 6 months old or so. So maybe a little older, but my point is that I do everything I can to in no way whatsoever ever deal with the LG interface or LG apps. I don't have any apps installed. I don't have any logins associated with the TV has none of my logins. I don't need to be part of their extracurricular business model.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then
yeah, I know
they're all HomePods at the moment,
which is actually pretty cool.
It just is. It's fine. I'm lucky. Yeah. I'm a lucky human being. There are much better sound systems for both music and for TV, but the HomePods are pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so one of the reasons why I have this this Polk soundbar is because it's designed to work really well in smaller spaces, like an apartment.
Right.
So that's great. Has a subwoofer with it, and one of the things I like about soundbars, especially good soundbars, is the center channel where dialogue comes from. So I can actually crank the center channel up to better hear dialogue in shows or movies where the other sounds might be a little too overpowering.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Sorry, that's cord cutting today for us, at least our little narrow world. We are obviously a little more Apple centric than a lot of folks might be. I don't know about a lot of folks in our audience. Maybe we might be pretty representative of our audience.
We're probably pretty representative.
Yeah. It is interesting. I somehow have managed to not say these words in this episode until now, but we are in a golden age of TV. There have never been so many great TV shows for us to watch ever.
Yeah. It's enough of a problem that I started making a spreadsheet to keep track of what I have watched and what I want to watch.
Wow. Wow. There's something very Jeff about that.
Yeah. I cannot deny that.
You can choose to accept that as a compliment if you so wish.
I am choosing to accept that as a compliment.
I am such a jerk. Why are you friends with me, man?
I don't know. It's the hats. It's the cool hats.
That's fair. That's fair. On that note. So, this is the Context Machine, and that is this week's show. It's episode 569. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can ping me over on Twitter, which I actually got a ping on Twitter. It's very nice.
Nice.
Over at GeekTells, that's TELLS, and you can check out my blog at geektells.com. Jeff?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gammon on both. Sometimes I make YouTube videos, so that's youtube.com/JayGammon. And we should give Hunter Douglas a shout out because it's awesome that they're sponsoring us.
Yeah, what do you have to do?
So head over to Hunter. You have to head over to hunterdouglas.com/ACM to get your free Style Gets Smarter design guide with fresh takes, creative ideas, and smart solutions for dressing up your windows.
That's Hunter Douglas, .com/ACM.
/ACM.
Got it. That is fantastic.
That's the one.
So great that they sponsored this week's show. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass was recorded by Boom just for us.
And yeah.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Brian.
That's it for this week, brother.
Ready? Sweet.
You ready?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Here we go. I'm ready.
Here we go.
Do it.
I done did it.
Sweet.